Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We've talked throughout publicly as though Caleb is the plan. Are you set on making him your quarterback now?
So, unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. So, we know what we're going to do. But everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday.
Yeah, everybody's going to have to wait until Thursday. Look, they don't want to get in trouble with Roger Goodell and the National Football League. I'm still expecting the phone call or the email reminding me
not to say anything.
And all reporters working for all broadcast partners, don't tip the picks. And let me tell you something. This would be a problem every single year if I didn't believe that the audience doesn't want to know in advance. The audience doesn't want to know. That's part of the fun. And yes, there is fun. I like fun. I don't hate
you
fun.
Sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay.
Shut up. I'm already in a bad mood. And my back feels better.
Okay,
I told you
before
the show why I'm in a bad mood. This is an example of the crap that I have to deal with. I want to share this with everyone. This is an email from an unnamed viewer who is a loyal fan, but this is what the person had to say. Under the subject line, Sims is wrong. And just a quick context. Chris was recently saying, as to Drake May, show me another guy who had a worse senior year than junior year that still went ridiculously high in the draft.
Right. I was trying to make the point. So, you don't see guys get worse in a year, and we all go, oh, wow, that's great. This is awesome. He's a top three pick. That was the point.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
So under the headline, Sims is wrong. Sims said, show me someone, quarterback, who had a worse senior year than junior year and then went top five in reference to Drake May. And this person said, Will Levis.
Boom. Mic drop. He mic dropped me.
Yes. Yeah. Will Levis, who went top five. He did go top five in the second round.
In day two. Thank you for proving my point.
I mean, are you kidding me? People, are you kidding me? And I walk this line constantly between welcoming any and all emails that people want to send and also saying, this isn't a chat room. This isn't a message board. I'm not your pen pal. This is a business account that is there for, you know, real communication. So you might have missed Thursday of last year, person who sent in the email, because you were right. When you tuned in Friday, he did go top five. He did go top five on Friday night. The only problem is Friday night is not the first night of the draft. So anyway, good morning.
Good morning.
We're one day away. Boom. We're one day away.
Oh, look at
Boom.
That. On the money.
There it is.
Yeah.
Wow. $1 million. Boom. Oh, no, that didn't. work.
No, that doesn't happen. Sorry.
There's no hole in the
It starts. It starts. Big weekend. Big weekend in the Sims household this weekend, too. Big week in general. I mean, it really was. Yesterday, Charlotte got her driver's license, right? So I did.
Oh, yes.
Yep. So Charlotte's got that.
Give her the keys to the Tesla.
Oh, man, it's great. It is great to know that I don't have to drive her everywhere and we don't have to be so in charge of that. That's awesome. She's also got the prom this weekend, right? So it's the first prom weekend I've had to endure here as a father. Yeah, exactly, right? So, yeah, we got that. And somehow,
hey, at least there's no Christmas tree in the barn they can climb all over.
right, to your house. I don't want to see them after the prom. I know that they're not allowed over. They've ruined that invitation. But yeah, they're coming over before. you know, it's like, hey, we're gonna come over and take pictures, and now. You know, my wife started to talk to me, and she's like, what do you want to order for food? And I'm like, what, for pictures? And she's like, yeah, it sounds like 40 or 50 people are going to be here. And I'm like, what? Oh, my gosh. So I've got it all going on this weekend. Going to be a busy one, let alone, you know, son's baseball and all that stuff going on.
I assume that the prom is Saturday.
It is Saturday? Yeah. Yeah, the prom is Saturday. Saturday evening. Right.
So the draft will be, if not over, it will at least be in the who the fook is that guy stages of the process. Right. No matter how hard they try to sell that Tom Brady won 199th overall, the reality is we're never going to know that this next name that gets called off is going to turn into anything until months from now, if not years from now. It's not going to keep people dialed in. Although some are, I have to respect that some are sufficiently caught up in this whole draft industrial complex that they'll sit there watching until the last pick is made and really, you know, caught up in the whole, ooh, this guy could be the guy, this guy could be the guy, that guy could be the guy. I mean, let's be realistic. By the time we get to the end of round seven, there aren't a lot of guys that potentially are going to be the guy. And when there's a Brock Purdy or a Tom Brady, that gives the NFL something to use to try to hold that audience together as long as possible. So, will Charlotte have a dedicated car? Will it be she uses mom or dad's car whenever? Like, how does that work?
No.
Buying her a car? She's getting money? What are you doing?
Yeah, we're just shelling it out there. We're just making it rain and getting another car, right? We're adding to Elon Musk's his pile of cash. And she's
needs it right now, though. The Tesla's not doing too well based on some of the things.
Yeah, I'll shed a tear for him at some other point later in life. But yeah, no, I know. I've heard all that. It's going to, and well, that's what's great, right? So some of the lower models right now for Tesla, look at me,
cheaper.
They're cheap as hell. Like my wife was kind of looking, and she's like, "Wait, this one right here is like, you know, only this per month." And I was like, "Oh, damn, okay, that's kind of hard to turn down." So we got the Chargers already, and it made sense. So we got her one of the smaller Teslas.
Wow, you didn't seem like a guy that would do financing or per month. You seem like a guy that just shows up with the bag of cash and says, here it is, give me the vehicle.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I know.
I'm not disappointed.
No,
I'm just, I'm not judging. I'm that guy. I have zero debt. I've had zero debt for 15 years.
Right.
I will not buy anything unless I have the money to pay for it. I don't want that hovering over my head.
I hear you.
It's automatic payments. I don't want that hovering over my head. I don't like playing the debt game. And, you know, I had a friend once who was like, well, you know, you could borrow money at X percent. You could invest it and make Y percent. And you're going to make money that way. That's how you make more money. It's like, that's fine. I don't want that in my life.
I'm with you.
I don't want that hovering over me.
Right.
I don't want to owe anybody anything.
Right. I'm the same on most things, right? I mean, I am that. I mean, I'm literally like, you know, the guy, I see American Express bill, and I'm like, oh, gosh, yeah, we can't owe them that much money. We got to get that down. I can't take it, you know, hovering over my brain. But, yeah, with the car thing, that's one thing where, yeah, you know, maybe we're a little spoiled for sure. You know, I think we came to the realization that, like, every 4 or 5 years, we kind of like a new car or a refresh or whatever. And that's where we got into, like, you know, let's just lease these things if we're going to kind of live like that. And that's the area we're going to kind of waste money on. And that's where we're wasting money in our life right now doing that.
Well, it's not like a car is a good investment anyway. The only issue with leasing, and I probably should lease at this point, when I was practicing law, when you practice law in West Virginia, it means you're driving all over the state. half of your time. You're in the car driving 2 hours here, 2 hours there.
Right.
There was no way I was ever going to turn the thing in without owing a crap load of money for the miles above whatever the annual allotment
that's
is.
Right.
Hell, now I hardly ever drive. Leasing would be the way to go. But, you know, I haven't even thought of that. Maybe that is the way to go. But you're right. You keep it, you have it, and you turn it in, and you get another one. And you just make your payment, and off you go. So
right.
Congratulations to Charlotte.
Thank you.
Condolences
thank you.
To you.
Thank
another
you.
Thing to worry about
right.
as your child is out there on right. the highway. I'm assuming that someone in the Sims household has read her the Riot Act on texting while driving. If
Yo.
I recall correctly, there's one specific person in the household
she knows.
who will come after you with double-barreled middle fingers if he sees or thinks or perceives there's a possibility there is any glancing at the cell phone device while behind the wheel of a car, which is good.
Yeah.
I fully support that.
Yeah.
That's the message that needs to be sent to every kid that age, especially as we get to the generation that has had these things surgically attached to their hands entire lives.
Right, right. I know. Yeah, they know, to your point. Yeah, they hear me all the time when they're sitting in the passenger seat and I'm seeing somebody, you know, in the fast lane going 65, kind of swerving into other lanes and little, but hey, you know, they got to look at what's on Instagram right now. So that's important. I mean, just kill all of us because, you know, you got to like that Instagram right there. So that's no problem. And yeah, that's usually when dad flips out and starts honking or flashing lights and giving the middle finger. And yeah, so they've learned their lesson that way.
Something that will be on Instagram within the next 2 days, the Bears' first pick in the draft, and barring some turn of events that would be beyond unexpected, beyond miraculous, beyond unanticipated and unprecedented, that Caleb Williams will be the first pick of the 2024 draft. We've heard nothing, seen nothing. There's been no suggestion. There's been nothing. There's been absolutely nothing that would counter the idea that that's who the Bears are taking. And coincidentally, or not, today's the day that they're going to pull the sheet off the renderings for their new stadium in Chicago, where they're going to be asking for $2.3 billion, according to the Chicago Tribune, in public money between the stadium and the infrastructure. $2.3 billion the Bears will pay, $2.3 billion the public will pay, one day before they bring potentially the first franchise quarterback to town since Sid Luckman and have another top 10 pick. This is the day to build the momentum.
Yeah.
To pass the hat
right.
to get $2.3 billion in taxpayer money for your new stadium.
I didn't even realize all that's going down, but that makes sense. I mean, yeah, you're kicking off a week and a weekend here where, I mean, the future, as we know, it is for everybody here, but it looks bright. Ooh, we got something working. We got a quarterback. We got another guy in the top 10. We ended the year off strong last year anyways. Where are we going to take off? All that hope and you know, what the future might look like with a guy like Caleb Williams, who we've all compared a little bit to Patrick Mahomes and all that. Yeah, I would think that, you know, does them some favors in the Chicago area with the people there and the taxpayers there.
Yeah, look, it's a no-brainer that this is the time to at least try. Whether it works or not,
I'd be
remains to be seen.
Say,
the
yeah.
key continues to be find a way to do it that doesn't involve the electorate voting on it. Because if the people vote on it, it's going to be no. We just saw that to start the month in Kansas City. Landslide defeat of the effort to try to get public money to renovate Arrowhead Stadium for the Chiefs. It's not going to happen if you put it on a ballot measure. It will happen if you can work the political angles behind the scenes to get the appropriate authorities and committees to issue this bond, that bond, do this, debt here, debt there. All that, you know, we would talk about how we're averse to debt. The government loves debt. Debt up the wazoo. And they have bonds and it's financial concepts I can't even begin to understand and gave up trying years ago, but that's how they're going to try to pull this off. And for that kind of money, for $4.6 billion in a market like that, I really do think they should consider trying to lure another team to town. I really do. Apologies to whoever they would be luring a team from, but I've been saying for years that Chicago feels like it should be a two-team town. And whether it's through expansion, whether it's through relocation, you know, all the NFL, not all, but most of what the NFL cares about now is what they're going to make off of the TV stream, not in stadium. And if you could take, you know, the cost of a new stadium and as a practical matter, cut it in half.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, instead of 10 games a year, 20 games a year, opportunities to fill the stadium, make money back, accelerate the process. Why wouldn't you do it? So I wonder if at some point the Bears are going to float the idea of getting a second team there, because I've been watching Chicago for a few years now as a possibility to get another team.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly seem like a city that could do it, right? I mean, they got the two baseball teams who certainly seem to be doing fine. I mean, that's, you know, now the other sports are not there, but it's a area that's certainly thirsty and hungry for football. We know that, but I would think, just like, you know, you talked about with the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones and anywhere else, I mean, yeah, hey, they might want somebody to pay and help pay the stadium, but I would think that Chicago doesn't want anybody infringing on their Monsters of the Midway territory, and that they want to be the Kings of Chicago still, right? And there is, like, yeah, it'd be cool to see a team there, but at the same time, it's a little bit one of those cities where it's like, no, it's the Chicago Bears, and it's them, and that's what it's got to be, and I don't want to see any difference. So I know the times are changing, and the NFL probably will expand at some point, and that's probably a spot, but man, the Bears are Chicago as far as I'm concerned.
And here's the reality. $4.6 billion, if that's the projected cost now, you think it's going to be lower, or you think it's going to be higher when the final bill is paid? It's going to be higher. They're finding that out in Buffalo. They're finding out how much higher it's going to be, and the bills are on the hook. It went from 1.4 to 1.7 to 2 now. And that's an extra $600 million the bills are going to have to come up with. So these things never get cheaper, and at some point you have to entertain in a big enough market the wisdom, like Stan Kroenke did in L.A. You get a second team in there. Chargers are the tenants. They make a bunch of money off the Chargers games. They make a bunch of money off of this, that, the other thing. And it eventually pays for itself, even at $5 or right. $6 billion.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
So, it will be Caleb Williams, most likely. And then at number 9, we don't know what the Chicago Bears are going to do. However, Caleb Williams did share a flight to Detroit with Rome Odunze. And Williams posted on social media, "I just saw Rome Odunze on my flight to Detroit. Big fan." And Odunze said, "I'm actually the pilot this morning. Don't worry. I'll get Caleb to Detroit safely. Hashtag no souls are perished." I kind of like the sense of humor from Rome Odunze. I mean, there's a chance. I don't know what the Bears are going to do, but they really don't need him. I mean, for now, they don't need him, but he's a guy they could use in the future. They've got DJ Moore. They've got Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's under contract for 1 year. But Odunze, I don't even know if he'll be on the board at number 9. We'll see.
Yeah.
But he could be. And I've been saying the Bears should just go ahead and trade down at number 9 if they can, especially if there's still quarterbacks on the board where they can get somebody to jump up and take one and pick up more and get more lottery tickets to make your team better. It's a nice balance between, because they don't have a lot of picks. We've got the graphic of the Bears' picks. They don't have a lot of picks. So move down from 9 and get more picks if that opportunity arises. But Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, both will be at the draft. And there's 13 in all scheduled to be at the draft. Not as many as some years in the past, but the big heavy hitters are going to be there, headlined by Caleb Williams, but also Odunze, one of the top receivers.
I mean, you know, I a lot of people have Odunze going to the Bears at pick 9 when you look at it, right? Mock drafts, whatever else. There's been that thought out there for a long time. I'm kind of with you, and I don't see that happening. I don't. One, they have a guy in Keenan Allen that's a lot like him anyways, right? They got some other young guys that are coming up the pipeline. They got DJ Moore. They got Cole Kmet, who's one of the better tight ends in football, right? So that's where I don't see that being. I don't think that happens. That would be my two cents on that right there. Now, when it comes to Romo Odunze, right, I mean, I think there is that thought of, like, what you're saying, Mike. He could not be there. He could be sitting there, and then it's like he could be sitting there, too, for a minute. Like, let's play this scenario out, right? I mean, let's just say most people in the NFL think the Cardinals are going to take the safe pick in Marvin Harrison Jr. You've heard me say that I don't really know anybody that doesn't have Malik Nabers as the number one receiver. I don't. You know I know a lot of people, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, right? Okay. So, Nabers, right? He's really damn good. If the Chargers at 5 don't take Nabers, which I don't think they will, right? And then you got the Giants at 6, where if they don't take Drake May, I think we'll take Nabers, right? And I don't have any feel for what the Giants are going to do. Of course, you know, I think them taking Drake May is ludicrous and just career suicide. But if they don't take him, then, yeah, I don't think you have to worry about the Titans or the Falcons taking Odunze, right? And if the Bears decide to go defense, let's just say the Bears go defense, which I had them do in my mock draft, right? Like, hey, a guy like Byron Murphy, Latu, whatever, someone like that, would I be shocked to see them go number 9? The Bears go, hey, wait, you know what helps out a rookie quarterback? An awesome defense. We have an awesome defense, and now we're only letting up 10 points. It's helping our rookie quarterback. If he doesn't go there, though, Mike, my point with Odunze is 9, where does he go right after that? Because then you started to get into, wait, the Jets I don't think are going to go Odunze. They're not looking at that. The Vikings, Broncos, and Raiders are all in the quarterback conversation, and they got to worry about that. I don't think the Saints are going receiver right now, by all due accounts. They're pretty good there. And you start to go, ooh, Odunze could fall a little bit maybe and be there in the late teens unexpectedly. I think it's a possibility of that happening. If you know, you like that logic or hear what I'm saying there?
I like the logic, yeah. but
I
also see the opportunity once he starts slipping out of the top 10.
That's right.
Someone like the Buffalo Bills to spring up to get him.
Sure,
which
sure.
They have to be looking to do. Von Miller's already kind of tipped that hand a little bit, and Miller's plugged in with what Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, is doing. And Bean last week was trying to cover all bases, which is smart. You want all options on the table. You want everyone to be guessing about what you're going to do. We don't need a number one receiver. We don't need to do that. If there's an opportunity, so be it. If not, we'll have a smattering of guys who do different things for us. You don't have to have a clear cut number one. And really, at the end of the day, all they have to do is replace Stephon Diggs' production, which for the final 10 games of the year last year and playoffs was not at number one receiver level. But they could be lurking for the opportunity to move up and do Odunze if he would.
He's one of the guys, Mike. He's one of the guys of the draft that is a little bit, you know, Friday morning I think we'll talk about, because it is a little bit of like, I don't know where he's going to go. And I do think, talking to people around the league, he's viewed differently throughout the league. I think some people like him. I think some people look at him and go, no, he's not a top 10 pick. That's not what he is for us, right? He's not going to blow you away with separation and speed, right? So guys like me and teams that like receivers that I'm talking about, they don't love Romo Odunze. Like, I love him. I want him on my team, but I don't want him in the top 10. I don't think he's that type of talent, right? That's not for me. You know the guys I like. I'm a DJ Moore in the top 10, a Jamar Chase in the top 10. Guys that I feel like can catch a slant or run by you for an 80-yard bomb and it's gone, right? And I think there is that out there about Odunze, and I think he could be very interesting to see kind of where he slides into this whole, you know, projection here.
I interviewed him recently, and
he's awesome,
I asked
dude,
him, where
right?
does the window open? When do you get nervous that maybe, you know, were you getting picked later than you thought? He actually was candid that he thinks the Cardinals at 4 are a possibility.
Mm.
He had a visit with them. So the window opens at 4. On the back end, he started to talk himself into getting a little nervous about how far. He just hopes he's not the guy that slides all the way through the round. And the NFL supposedly was very careful about selecting only guys that they're highly confident are going to be taken early, that aren't going to have another Will Levis who slides all the way to round 2. That's why Michael Penix and Bo Nix supposedly weren't invited. I wonder at some level whether they're just being a little careful with the money, but regardless, The point is, Odunze understands, just like you're saying, there's a chance things get a little dicey. And he'd like to go to the Raiders. He's from Las Vegas. They're there at 13. They could use a Davante Adams replacement because under that contract, unless Adams is going to take a lot less money next year, he ain't going to be there.
Yeah.
So 13 is one to watch. But I think once we get past 10, depending upon 11, 12, 13, what the Vikings, Broncos, Raiders have in store, if they're even in those spots anymore as they search for a quarterback, that's when we start thinking maybe the Bills – try to do a deal to come up and get Odunze. You just wonder how far from 28 the Bills could justify going to get him and what they'd have to give up to do it.
That's the big question, right? Are they in a spot right now with that football team that they can give away that many assets to go up and get that player right there, right? That would be a big question for me. And I don't know, with my evaluation of that football team, I would go, no, they can't afford that. They can't. That's too much right there. Right? I would go, hey, buyer, don't do that. Wait to see where Brian Thomas Jr. lands, right? The other LSU kid, who, again, is viewed on film right up there with those guys, right? But there's just a, you know, maybe a maturity question or like that kind of stuff off the field, like little questions about like that, not like a bad kid or anything like that. So do you sit there and wait and see if somebody like that falls into your lap? Or, you know, maybe he's on the board at 24 or 25 and you just move up a few spots to make sure you get him, right? But, you know, again, you know, if you do need a receiver, I think the four that we've talked about the most, right, are clearly in a class of their own by themselves. Odunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr., and Neighbors. And then after that, there's discussions to be had. And you get into the Xavier Worthy from Texas, right, the kid from South Carolina, Leggett, and you get into a few other guys. Like the other Texas kid is in the conversation. And, you know, maybe you're happy with one of those. But I do think there's a little bit of a drop-off after the top big four receivers.
And I also think at some level, for the scouting process, there's a blend of tangible and intangible. There's a combination. There's an exercise you have to engage in that is informed by your experience, all the people you've met, all the different prospects you've evaluated, where you just get a feeling that a guy's going to be pretty good.
Yeah,
regardless of all the other stuff.
Right.
I got a feeling this guy's going to be pretty good. And with Rome Odunze,
you got the feeling.
On my far more limited, you know, I don't have this huge database of met this guy, met that guy, studied this guy, studied that guy, looked at this guy, looked at that guy. But Odunze just kind of gives you that. I think this guy's going to be pretty good.
He's got it. He's got that stuff. Like, we knew that at the combine, right? I mean, we felt it.
So
right?
So am I going to let myself get caught up in other things that would talk me out of it?
Yeah.
Or do I listen to the pasta and meatballs that tells me
this kid could just play?
This guy's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think he's going to be pretty good.
I hear you.
But see, the problem is the problem is when your job's on the line for getting it wrong,
right?
When the boss, the big boss, the one who signs the checks sitting across from you in your office, or you are standing across from him or her in their office and they've got their finger on the button that opens the trap door that sends you down into the trash compactor.
Is the my gut pasta and meatballs a sufficient answer?
I just had a feeling. I just had a feeling that this guy was going to be good. Never mind the 40. Never mind the film. Yes, never mind this. Never mind that.
Right.
I really did think that he was going to be good.
Right.
Yeah. Press the button, down you go, and that's that.
Exactly right. No, you're exactly right. I think you said it right. That's the difference when your ass is on the line, because you have things that, I feel this, and, you know, I've been right about this before, but damn, there's these issues on the film, and damn, am I going to go with my feel or kind of what I'm seeing? And it's a balance there. But would agree with you that Odunze does seem to have that, you know, the it factor, which is, to me, I always, intangibles and talent, right? He does have the charisma. He's handsome as hell. He's got a star power type of face, right? And you could tell he gets it. He gets it, and he loves the game. And just by what he did yesterday on social media, I mean, he's funny. He's very easy to like. There's no doubt about that.
Let me give you the best example of it in recent years.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
Right.
Well, nobody was saying – Patrick Mahomes can't miss, all-time great. Nobody knew where he was going to go.
Except for Chris
Sims.
It was
a big mystery what the quarterbacks were going to do. Okay, yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
I know, yeah.
But but in Kansas City, they saw something that transcended all the sloppy stuff on the film, all the a little erratic.
Right. Is that Texas Tech? You know. Is that him? I don't know what, you know, right.
Yeah. And somebody saw and said, hey, wait a minute. This guy's going to be pretty good.
That's Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy, you got to give him a lot of credit. You know, I know I was a little hard on him as the Chicago Bears head coach and all that, but by all due accounts, he was the first one that was like, I know Veach was on him too, but Nagy was like, oh my gosh, I love this kid. And then he met him and he loved him even more. And you know the story, right? I mean, he kind of framed the meeting with Mahomes and Andy Reid. Right, Mahomes has told the story. You know, Nagy gave him kind of a few answers to the test so he would look better and impress Andy Reid and company because he liked him that much. But, like, to your point, yeah, you know, that is real. When you've been around a lot of guys and you've been around stars and, you know, you've seen what makes things great, you know, that's where, pasta and meatballs will come in every time because you go, wait, this guy's got a personality just like I was with a superstar 6 years ago that was just like this. And this guy is, he's got this magic about him when he walks in the room. And, yeah, that's a tough thing to balance in the scouting world when you're about to make a draft pick, to your point, Mike.
And Brett Veach was the champion of Mahomes in the scouting department.
Yeah.
And right after the draft, John Dorsey was technically the general manager who drafted Patrick Mahomes, but he got let go
right
after the draft, and Veach got the job. And, you know, you get a guy like Mahomes, and that's the thing. Sometimes you go all in. There's that word again. We're going to be talking about it later in the program. But it gives you a lot of chips you can play.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of your career, and you can make decisions based on, because then when you're standing in the owner's office, if you blow it with, you know, a Roma Dunze, for example, not the Chiefs are going to be in position to get him, but you can say, I saw things in him that we saw in Patrick Mahomes, and that ends the conversation.
Right. Exactly right. You know, got some pelts on the horse, you can take a few more chances every now and then, and they've done that. They've struck gold a few times there in Kansas City, which allows them to take a chance on, we'll try Kadarius Toney. We'll try it, right? I mean, there's all these stories about him. None of them are good. We kind of saw something. We'll take him, right? That's what's giving them that flexibility. What they're doing on the field and some of the guys they've gotten, they've got the magic touch there.
And winning every Super Bowl that's been played since they traded the best receiver in football helps.
Kind of helps.
As well. A little more equity in the tank for Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and company. Okay, second overall pick is something we've been talking about a lot. There has been activity all over the place in the betting markets. As of yesterday, Jaden Daniels had separated, and it's even more now. Daniels now minus 400. You got to bet 400 to win 100. That's what that means. Drake May, 3.3-1 odds, plus 330 to be the second overall pick. As of Friday, they were, via DraftKings, both minus 115. That was in the aftermath of the Topgolf cluster fudge that caused people to wonder whether or not Jaden Daniels didn't want to go there. Now, look, this isn't to go to Washington at number two. This is just number two. So part of this betting action is influenced by the possibility that someone like the Raiders, someone like the Vikings, could try to go up to number two and get Jaden Daniels there. No clear reason to think it's going to happen, but if someone does trade up to number two, they're trading up there to get Jaden Daniels. They're not trading to number two to get Drake May.
No, exactly right. Anybody that goes up to number two is trying to go up to Jaden Daniels, and that's going to take a haul to get up there and do that. You know, like you're talking about with your Vikings. I mean, they might have to throw in Justin Jefferson in that trade. I don't know. You know, I think your point about them not having a contract with him is still very weird and odd. I mean, it's like, wait, is he getting $36 million or is he getting $34 million? What's he getting? Boom, boom, it's $2 million, blah, 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 let's figure it out. You know, that is crazy. But, yeah, you know, I would think so. I felt confident about what I said yesterday and the things you said, right, and the people that I trusted that told me about number two pick, right? I think that it'd still be Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. But, yes, I think that he's the guy that if a trade does happen, Raiders, Vikings, whatever, it's going to be go to number two to get Jaden Daniels, as we've talked about a lot. And I think this is pretty standard, that Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels – kind of stand apart from the rest of the group as far as the quarterback conversation. They're in their own class, right? And, you know, that would be what the action's for at number two.
So the only question left is then, is it Commanders or do they trade the pick? It'll be Daniels two. Drake May becomes very intriguing after that,
right?
Because the Vikings, as evidenced by Kevin O'Connell saying last week, he sent a bouquet of flowers recently to Robert Kraft. Vikings would like to get to number three, presumably to take Drake May. The Giants, ESPN, reported yesterday that they are considering trying to trade up to number three, with the guess being that it would be for Drake May, not J.J. McCarthy. And I'm told that the thought is the Patriots, one of the reasons they're rebuffing these advances, they want May for themselves. And at some point, man, that puts a lot of pressure on May. You're the apple of multiple teams' eyes. Well, now you got to go out and prove it. Now you go out and do it. And you're going to do it with New England or maybe New York or maybe Minnesota. But at the end of the day, you got to go do it. And, you know, if the Patriots take him at number three, it's still close enough in time to Tom Brady to add.
Sure.
A lot of pressure to the kid.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, it is. He's going to be looked at as, can he be the next Tom Brady? Definitely. And then with him having a similar look, you know, even to Tom Brady and a similar build, I mean, there's no doubt that'll go on, right? I had heard on early on in the process New England liked Drake May, but they didn't like him at number three, right? That's why in, like, my mock draft, I had him trading with Minnesota, and then they get Drake May at 11. Now, I don't have anything, like, concrete there to say, oh, I feel really strong about that. So I don't know, you know, but is that a good situation for Drake May? It's certainly not bad. Jacoby Brissett is there, and I think Drake May needs some time to develop, and he won't be thrust into action, and they can depend on Jacoby Brissett. So, you know, that'll work. But yeah, I also look at it and two and know, you know, I think a lot of people go, here's two things that are affecting this. One is Minnesota. And I think this knowledge that, yes, O'Connell and Josh McCown like May. So I think teams are kind of throwing May's name out there a little bit to get like, oh, hey, we like him. We got to give us another player, another pick if you want him. I don't know, right? I think there's a little of that. You know, the Giants one too. I know that name's thrown out there. I get it. And I've heard that too. But I also would say it benefits them to throw that name out there for the guy they might try to trade up for, right? Again, it adds to the value of if somebody wanted to trade for their pick, let alone, I think, you know, what the other thing too with the Giants and what comes to my mind, Mike, and hear me out a little bit, is Marvin Harrison Jr. goes four, right? Okay? And now he's off the board, like we were talking about with the receivers before. I think where they got to be worried about trading up a little bit is I do think there's going to be business for Neighbors at five, right? Neighbors is loved around the league. People think Neighbors is a superstar. I know that from multiple people, right? They think he is, I hear Odell and those type of names thrown out when people talk about Neighbors. So, I would think that the Giants really are hot on Neighbors. And like I said, I told you teams got Neighbors as the number one receiver, all the teams I know, right? I would also think they got to be worried about, wait, if we stay at six and the Chargers, who don't really want a receiver and maybe want an old lineman, we could get jumped and then we don't have a Neighbors available to us, right? And I got to think that's part of this conversation as well with the Giants, Mike.
I don't disagree with that at all. And I keep going back to the Patriots because something else that showed up yesterday in the Boston Herald, the Patriots haven't received a serious offer for the third pick. The offers they've gotten are laughable.
But the Giants are trying to trade up, right? These are the things I've connected to go, bullshit. I'm not sure I believe all of this stuff, right? That's where the Giants are trying to trade up, but New England hasn't gotten an offer. What? It's on the same day.
The Vikings are the ones.
Right, right. But it was the same day that report came out. Like, what?
And the way it was framed is the Giants are considering trying, not that they've tried.
Yeah,
yet.
Yeah.
They're waiting for the right moment, supposedly.
Right.
And thank you for cutting off at 2. Usually when you start,
you should say 3.
One,
right.
You give us 3.
Right.
I guess there's a rhythm, there's a symmetry, there's a harmony. Things happen in threes, but thank you for not saying it a third time yet. So, I just think at the end of the day, this is Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft business transaction. This is leveraging the situation. This is knowing the Vikings are desperate. This is putting the thumb on the scale. This
right.
is all. This is all smart. This is all smart.
I hear you. Right.
At the end of the day, let's think about this. Robert Kraft, who is very aware of the 20 years that they had Tom Brady and what that meant. And he's very aware of what it's been since then. And he's very aware of what they need to do to try to get their team back to a level of playoff contention. They're not even in playoff contention. Playoffs, they're not. They have a lot of holes on the roster. At the end of the day, if you're Robert Kraft, are you taking the unproven commodity who had a worse senior year than junior year at number 3 in Drake May, or are you taking all the other stuff you can get for Drake May, for the right to take Drake May, if it's the 6th overall pick plus other stuff, if the Giants are the ones who try to make the move, the 11th overall pick plus a lot of other stuff, if the Vikings are the ones who make the move? I just think the business decision here, unless you have access to a crystal ball or, you know, the sports almanac that Biff stole from Marty in Back to the Future,
right,
and you
right.
can see what's going to happen right. and what Drake May is going to become, you're going with quantity. You're going with more lottery tickets. You're going with more opportunities, and you're also not putting this kid in position where he's going to be expected to live up to the legacy of Tom Brady. It's still too early to put someone in that spot. They can make all the noise they want about it to drive up the price of the pick. But I think at the end of the day, Robert Kraft is not going to feel comfortable saying, let's let Drake May try to be Tom Brady.
No.
No, no, no.
No.
Let's try to get a team that is competent to qualify for the playoffs. And remember how Tom Brady came to be. He didn't have this emergence like, hey, I'm Tom Brady. He was just one of the guys.
Yes.
For the first several years, really pre-2007, he was just kind of one of the guys. And over time, he developed and emerged. And all just like we talked about the experiences that would cause someone to say, hey, I see something in Roma Dunze that I can't quantify. I think Robert Kraft, with his 20 years of Tom Brady, can say at the end of the day, I believe based upon everything I've experienced and seen that we shouldn't put all of our eggs in the Drake May basket. It's not fair to him to put him in that position and expect him to be Tom Brady.
No. I would agree with that. I would agree. And listen, you know, oddly enough too, right? And I've said this to people. If there's a guy that reminds me of Tom Brady in this draft and the way he is and charismatic, it's the guy that's coming from Michigan. He's got the Tom Brady million-dollar smile. He's handsome. He's charismatic. I've said, JJ, all due respect to my daughter's boyfriend, I'd love JJ McCarthy to come over and be my daughter's boyfriend, all right? Hey, my daughter's boyfriend's great, but, you know, JJ McCarthy, right? I mean, he's that guy. He is. He's as professional, as detailed. He's the guy, too, Mike, that I think can handle the pressure that you're talking about and following a Brady and having that and all of that, right? So, you know, from that standpoint, that's where I always have kind of looked at McCarthy and gone, man, if New England could trade down a little bit and get McCarthy somewhere else, I feel like he'd be their guy. Now, what you got to worry about is you trade down to 11 and, you know, you get Minnesota's pick. You might have to worry about a Denver or somebody trading, getting a spot and two in front of you to take a J.J. McCarthy or wherever there. There's some danger there, but, you know, I'm with you. Let's not have the guy who's raw and needs work, and just about everybody that even likes him says that he's going to be the guy that you want to replace Tom Brady. When you say things out loud, back to our magic emailer to start the show, when you say it out loud, that doesn't make sense to me. But again, maybe they see something that, you know, I don't or we don't.
Well. And that's the thing. You've got 32 different teams assessing these situations differently. They have their own procedures. They have their own formulas. They have their own processes. At the end of the day, No one has figured out the way to do it. No one has cracked the code, because if they did, their first round pick every year would be a future Hall of Famer. Their second round pick would be a potential perennial Pro Bowler, and it would be starters and it would be great players. And no one has managed to come up with a formula, because no one knows what any of these guys are going to do until they get to the highest level of football, and they're competing with the best of the best that college football has had to offer for the past 10 years. I think of Deshaun Watson, back when he was with the Texans, and he was great right out of the gates. One of the big concerns for him coming out, too many interceptions. 17 is junior year, 13 is senior year. The windows get tighter. The openings are narrower. How are you going to fit the ball through there? And guess what he did? Well, target smaller? Okay, I'll hit it. I'll hit the target at the college level when it's bigger, and when the target's smaller, I'll hit it. And he did. And we're talking about Deshaun Watson like 2020 and previous, but so there's no way of knowing.
No, there's no way of knowing. No.
And if nothing else, what we talked about yesterday with Zach Wilson and the rest of the quarterbacks other than Trevor Lawrence, who is still not a top five franchise guy through three seasons, it's a cautionary tale. We get, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, you think all if all six of them end up being great, that's awesome. But chances are, at best, three of them are going to be great. If it's four, wow, right? It led 2020, Justin Herbert's been great, Joe Burrow's been great, Tua Tagovailoa's been closer to great than bad.
Yeah.
And then here's Jalen Hurts, and there's more I'm not thinking of.
Jordan Love?
Yeah, Jordan Love. Holy crap, Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Jordan Love could be better than any of them by the time it's all said and done. Who knows, the way he played last year when he finally got a chance to get on the field. Now, you know, Joe Burrow might have something to say about that, but damn, Jordan Love was special last year. So, you know, here's the bottom line. If you want to be a top five quarterback, there's only five of them in the entire league at any given time. And everybody wants a top five quarterback. There's only ever going to be five who are top five. And we got high expectations for this quarterback class, and we got teams that are desperate. And, you know, we'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yep.
Soon. Because I think a lot of these guys, and this is something we'll be talking about after the draft, who's going to be playing right away and who's going to be on the bench. They're going to expect a lot of these guys to come in and play right away.
Yeah, I think so, right? I mean, you know, you look at some of these situations, you look at the Broncos and the Raiders, and you think, oh, certainly, they need them to come and play right now. The Bears, we know, play, right? You know, Jaden Daniels, Commanders, play, right? So, you know, I think Drake May will be that guy we're not sure that's going to play. But I think that's a little bit of the beauty of this class here, and that's where I do think it's different. And I think if you made me bet, I'd bet more are going to be successful here, because I think it's a group that can play quarterback, let alone they have some physical attributes to back it up, right? Where, like we talked about yesterday, in years past, there's guys who they have physical attributes. They don't know how to play quarterback yet. Let's see if that can meet and they can become something. And that's where you can kind of miss on guys. But, yeah, this is going to be the big thing, Mike. Like, I saw your mock draft that you do, and you I know you
– Not mine.
Well, I know you. I was going to say you outsource it to people who you trust and know football and get that. And, like, hey, these are things that went through my thought process right here. Right? J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots at 11. You heard me say that a little already, right? Now, the other thing that went when I did my mock draft and I was going through it, and you and whoever you talked to help you with this or whatever, I thought about this too. Would the Raiders and the Broncos trade back going, wait, there's nobody right directly behind us that needs a quarterback exactly. Maybe you'd have to worry about Seattle. But really nobody. Can we kind of trade back into an area here and still get some picks and still get our starting quarterback somewhere in the 20s, right? And I think that's something that I'm certainly intrigued by, and I think about, and I think, ooh, that's a possibility that could happen. Now, there's a gamble in that too. There is. I mean, you worry about, now team at the top of second round, right, that might be looking for a future quarterback or whatever like that. They might go, well, shit, we'll trade up and get Michael Penix Jr. if he's there at pick 27 or Bo Nix or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there without a quarterback, right? So that's the dicey part of that situation. But, you know, again, I think those are certainly some things that are on the radar that could happen tomorrow night in the draft around this quarterback combo.
And we've got the Broncos – under that mock draft that I had nothing to do with other than to take it and turn it into a
file. Just take all the credit for it. Yep.
I'm not. I said I've made it clear. I don't want any of the credit.
Relax.
I hate mock drafts.
I know.
I almost didn't do one. Each year I come closer and closer to not doing one. And maybe next year will be the year because it's a pointless exercise. It frames discussion. We got plenty of stuff to discuss. I don't need some phony made-up tool to have a discussion about what's going on.
Well, look, we had a graphic that we could put up that supported the discussion. All right, freaking Dr. Doom. It wasn't that bad. It's draft time. Get in, get the love, feel the love. We're family. It's the NFL, okay? Come on.
I prefer drafts that are real. I prefer drafts that are real to drafts that are fake because they're all going to be forgotten once it's time to make the picks.
They won't. If I get a bunch of them right, they won't be forgotten on Friday morning. I'm going to let everybody know.
But you know what? They will be forgotten here on Friday morning because you're not working on Friday morning. We have an actual first-round pick who's doing the show on Friday morning, not you. Not that that was my choice. But Devin McCourty will be with me on Friday morning because I guess when you get baked and when you're drinking Clase Azul on Thursday night doing a three-hour live show.
Four and a half hour show. Yeah. I don't want to go to sleep for 2 hours and get up and do the show the next morning.
Does it really count as a show if it's just a camera that's on you while you're watching the draft? Is that really a show?
Yeah, because I sit there and break down the thing and talk the whole freaking time. Yes, it is. It's a show. It is definitely that. So, yes, kiss my ass on that comment and you getting a little heated there. And screw you.
I won't be working at all on Thursday night. I won't be doing videos. I won't be doing anything on Thursday night. I can do the show on Friday morning because I'll be completely rested and refreshed, and I won't get 4 hours of
sleep. When I own PFT, I'll be there for you, buddy, but right now I don't. Sorry, buddy.
I remember that, you know, there are several weeks per year that somebody works 5 days, and draft week used to be one of them, and it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad to see now that you're getting a little older, you don't have the stamina to do 5 days on draft week, but that's okay. 43 was the age. If you had 43 on your bingo card, 43 was the age where Chris was too old to muster the stamina to get up 5 days in draft week and show up and do the show. That's fine because, again, we get an actual first-round pick,
exactly.
Not a third-round pick.
You're good.
We got a first-round pick doing the show.
You're good.
Devin McCourty
right.
on Friday. Okay, a first-round pick, a first overall pick in 1998. Peyton Manning. And, look, there's been some steam out there about J.J. McCarthy and the Broncos. There's been some steam. It's J.J. McCarthy at one end, Bo Nix at the other. But there's been some steam about J.J. McCarthy. There might have even been a private workout that nobody – oops, did I say that out loud? There might have been a private workout with J.J. McCarthy and the Broncos that nobody knows about. There might have been. I'm not saying there was. I'm just saying there might have been. Here's Peyton Manning, who won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos and who has witnessed the Broncos have a revolving door of caca at quarterback ever since he retired. Here's Manning talking about his interactions with J.J. McCarthy and what the Broncos think of him.
I texted him Stoke after the national championship. I never met him, but we invited him to our football camp, and like Harbaugh wouldn't let him miss a workout, so they didn't get to go. And so I just reached out and said, "Hey, man, congratulations! You know, wish you the best of luck in your next chapter." And I guess he thought it was a prank because he never called me back. So I texted him Monday, you know, from the same number. And he's like, "Oh, it really is you. I thought somebody was pranking me." And so I just kind of wished him luck. And he said, "I'd love to ask you some questions." So he called me back. And, boy, impressive to talk to. And I know Denver's very interested in him. And it sounded like, you know, this is a place he'd love to come to. So, but it's a little bit out of his control.
Denver's very interested in him. Hey, Peyton, here's a jar of peanut butter and a sleeve of crackers. Get to work. I mean, that's exactly what Sean Payton would say if they are really interested. You don't talk about that. You don't plant the flag in J.J. McCarthy because I think they are really interested in J.J. McCarthy. They just have to figure out a path on how to go get him, Chris.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you asked me the two guys that I would think Sean Payton would like, right, it would be Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. That would be the guys I would think he likes. Right? You know, ready to run an offense, day one, NFL type of offense right off the bat, right away. The fact that, like, Peyton Manning says that so aggressively and all that, it honestly makes me think that it's not J.J. McCarthy, that was like Sean Payton and the Broncos telling, "Hey, we like him a lot. Go ahead and say that." So the guy that we want is still there. I mean, that it's so flagrant and obvious to your point. It makes me think the other way around there. But you know, again, I wouldn't be, you know, shocked to see J.J. McCarthy there. I get it. I think, honestly, though, Bo Nix's skill set fit Sean Payton's offense even better than J.J. McCarthy's does.
Here's what happens, though, and you've done enough radio over the years to learn this. When you get in a setting like that, when you're having a conversation on the phone, especially with local radio, it's very easy to assume nobody's ever going to hear this outside of this market. Nobody's going to hear this that's going to harm anyone's interest strategically. This isn't going to go viral. Nobody's going to know this happened. Now, in this day and age, that's naive to think because they all stream and they all have some sort of social media presence where they'll strip out anything they can use and turn it into a big quote. But there's a degree of nonchalance that can creep into when you're speaking versus when you're writing. I know for me, and I know others have gone through this, I know that there was some stuff Tom Curran said on a TV show or a podcast about Bill Belichick that you know, he never would have written, but he said it, and he believes it, but he never would have reduced it to writing, and I think it ended up being accurate. But at the end of the day, I just wonder whether or not Peyton maybe got a little too casual there. But between the two options, with Peyton Manning, of all people, there are no accidents, there are no coincidences, there is nothing casual, everything strategic. And, you know, you're kind of thinking like me to say he deliberately, gratuitously threw out how interested the Broncos are because they're really not. And this is just part of some smokescreen that he's working on with Sean Payton.
I think it's all been smokescreen from Denver ever since the start of this whole thing. I do. You know, I just, and yeah, I think Sean Payton's slick, right? He's slick. He's smart. This ain't his first rodeo. He was laying in the weeds for Mahomes. Nobody knew it until after the fact. He knows how to play this game. He knows how Rumorville starts and works and that kind of crap, right? This is a huge, huge pick for Sean Payton. I would think he has been trying to orchestrate and do things behind the scenes to mislead people and all that more than ever before, right? I mean, I still go back to the combine where Russell, we got to get this one right. That's what he said. We got to get this one right. Right?
The next one.
And the next one got to be right.
Exactly.
That's a big statement. I think about that. I think about him. He's smart. He knows how to lay in the weeds. He understands that. Yeah, there's that. There's that. Peyton's too damn smart, too. The other Peyton. Peyton Manning. I don't think slippage works in that big brain. That brain's got a lot of IQ in there. I don't know. So, you know, that's where it perked me up a little bit when I heard Peyton Manning say that.
But let me go next level. We need to take a break, but we need to go next level. And I don't know the answer to this question. I don't know much about the Peyton and Peyton relationship, Sean Payton and Peyton Manning, because Tom Brady is Sean Payton's guy. And there's still got to be some lingering Peyton Manning and Tom Brady stuff as well. I mean, is this next level sabotage by Peyton Manning? Does he like it that they haven't had a great quarterback since him? Maybe at some level he likes that. They keep flailing. They keep failing. They keep trying. And, oh, this year they want J.J. McCarthy. Well, let's see if I can keep that from happening. Hey, they really want J.J. McCarthy, everybody. Oops, did I say that out loud?
You're going. All right. You went conspiracy on Peyton Manning trying to ruin the whole thing. Okay. All right. I wasn't in on that one.
I'm just saying.
That's you. That's Florio.
If we're going to start.
Send that email to Florio, Peyton.
I'm just saying, if we're going to start trying to imbue strategic thought to what Peyton Manning said, maybe he's not trying to throw people off
the
scent. Maybe he's deliberately trying to throw people on the
scent. I think he's very friendly with the Broncos organization. I think he's very friendly. He's there all the time. He's at the games. They freaking ask him when they do a social media video or a schedule release. Peyton Manning's the guy they bring in to do it still.
You know why? So, you know why?
Well, because he's Peyton
Manning. You know why? Because he's the last good quarterback they've had, and he wants to keep it that way.
Yeah.
That's why. All right, let's take a break. When we return, Jerry Jones is at it again. He is all in on twisting and distorting the meaning of the phrase all in. That's next here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.